after my conversation with Mike on Tuesday about, you know, his feelings of where we're at and where we need to go, and just sat and contemplated it for the week, and then made the decision to go yesterday and have, you know, conversation with him, just essentially saying that I think it's just time.
I think it's just time. Kyle Dubas talked for a while yesterday to the assembled Pittsburgh hockey media. And despite what the press release said, when this all became public, Kyle Dubas spent the entire time trying to convince everybody that he made the decision. Would not call it a firing. The press release wouldn't call it a firing. But Kyle Dubas wants you to think that this was 100% his decision. That he had been thinking about this throughout the season. And ultimately, he made the call that this was the right move for the Penguins franchise. I don't think that's how it went down. And I've got another piece of audio here that may well back up my hypothesis.
Virtual interviews here over the next month, followed by in-person interviews at the end of May into early June, and then likely naming a head coach in early June that will lead the team forward. That may be delayed because some of the people that, very quickly started to put together a list of the top folks. Some of those people are employed either by top AHL teams or they're on NHL staffs as we speak right now. That would be the only delay in it. That will give you a preview of what we're about to undertake. As it pertains to the remainder of the staff, there are three staff members who are coming to the end of their term.
Who cares about the other staff members? All due respect to Mike Vellucci and Andy Chiodo and guys like that. Kyle was asked follow-up questions about the process of hiring a head coach, and he said he's just now putting together a list of names.
Uh-huh.
If he's been thinking about firing Mike Sullivan since mid-season, why are you just now putting together a list of names? Doran, I am no stranger to the head coaching search. My college basketball team has done like six of these in the last 4 years. My college football team has now done two of these in the last 7 years. And one of the things the athletic director has said, Ren Baker, great guy at West Virginia University, he always has a list of candidates in his desk drawer.
Yeah.
You never know what's going to happen.
Right.
So either Kyle Dubas is inept at finding a head coach, which I do not believe is the case. He's a smart guy. Or he's lying through his teeth, people. If he was going to fire Mike Sullivan, we're now 11 days removed from the end of the season. If this was always the idea, you do it at the end of the season, and you have your list of candidates readily available.
Yeah.
Folks, this may well have been a mutual decision, but we put this out there yesterday, and I stand by this. You stand by this too,
absolutely,
correct? We stand by this. They were always going to meet. Mike Sullivan did go into that conversation with a different idea of the direction of the Pittsburgh Penguins than Kyle Dubas had. There was a disagreement, and then, yeah, maybe, fine, sure, a parting of the ways, but this was never set in stone that this was going to be the outcome.
No.
And for all the people out there that believe the Penguins beat writers' accounting of the story over hours, where were the beat writers the last 3 months when any time this would come up in a chat, any time this would come up on the air, when the question would be asked, what's going to happen with Mike Sullivan? Oh, he's not going anywhere. To a man, to a woman, to a reporter, Mike Sullivan's not going anywhere, and they would basically poo-poo the idea that this would go in a different direction. Where were all these beat writers, many of whom I respect, this isn't a personal thing, but where were all these beat writers when Kyle Dubas apparently has been mulling over the decision about the head coach?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll stand by our reporting. I'm not sure it even matters whose decision it was. What matters is that the franchise is moving in a different direction. But make no mistake, the Penguins want you to think this went down on their terms.
Now, if we want to be specific, I'm sure that there wasn't actual, like, legit, like, point-the-finger demands whenever Mike Sullivan went in the room. Maybe there was some things that he wanted to change and he had on his mind, and Kyle Dubas was like, look, we are heading into a different direction. We don't see that that's a part of the process, and that's not on the table, so you can go headed in a different direction.
Right.
So That I 100% believe that. And for us to believe that Kyle Dubas is going to stand up there behind a podium and tell the truth about what went down in a closed-door meeting with one of the best, or if not the best, head coach in the history of the Pittsburgh Penguins, that's insane to think that he's going to stand up there and tell you the truth.
He's not going to rip on Sullivan. Just like when Sullivan gets hired by another franchise in like 2 minutes, he's not going to get up there and crush Kyle Dubas or the Penguins organization.
There's a level of respect there.
Yes.
There's a level of respect. They're not going to talk about what they talked about. He's not going to say, oh, yeah, Mike Sullivan came in and said these are non-negotiables, and I just didn't like that. Like, you really think that Kyle Dubas is going to tell you the truth? Give me a break.
Right. And the way, I guess we need a podium, Dorn. We need a podium. People tend to believe what you say behind a podium.
Yep.
Kyle Dubas said it. Never happened. I guess that's the truth. They always tell the truth. Mike Tomlin always tells the truth. When we write and we talk about non-negotiables, it could be as simple as Mike Sullivan walks in there and says, here's how I view this. And Kyle says, no, here's how I view this. Can we meet in the middle here? Probably not. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then we're going to move on. Mike Sullivan should want to move on if they're not going to contend, because there are four jobs open right now, three of which arguably could be better than the Penguins, and two definitively better than the Penguins. You've got the Rangers, you've got the Bruins, you've got the Flyers, you've got Chicago. The Rangers were the President's Trophy winning team 2 years ago, and they were a whisker away from the playoffs this year. He goes in there, they're immediately a contender.
Yes.
The Flyers, I think he goes in there, they're probably immediately a contender. Boston, arguably, and Chicago, they're a long ways away. I think they've butchered their rebuild for a very long time. But there's four jobs open. If the Rangers and Bruins jobs were not open, I believe Mike Sullivan is still the head coach today. Because the direction that Kyle Dubas wants to take this in, I think Mike Sullivan is a lot more amenable to it if there's not grass greener on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Mike, here's how we're going to get this thing done. We need you to play the younger players, whatever Kyle views as the direction of the franchise. That's a lot more palatable to Sullivan if there's not an escape rope, if there's not a trap door he can jump out of.
Right, right.
So, you know, we can get caught up in the semantics and we can fight against Penguins beat writers. It's really neither here nor there, but we're not just going to wilt away from our report because certain people in the media are going to put out a different accounting of the story. And hey, that's their job. Our job is to entertain.
Yes.
And the longer you do, just to take you behind closed doors and how the sausage is made, the longer you do our job, the more information finds you.
Uh-huh.
If we were Penguins beat writers, when we were texted at 3:12 p.m. on Sunday, we would have put it out there that Mike Sullivan had been fired. Or that there was a parting of the ways, or whatever the frig you think happened, we would put it out there at 3:12 on Sunday. That's when we were told this went down. But we're not Penguins beat writers.
No, it's not our MO.
It's not.
No.
We're not newsbreakers. But when things find us, they find us for a reason. And I'll stand behind our source 100 times out of 100, as I know you will, about their accounting of how this went down. And then just, again, semantically, just to point this out, all of the beat writers that are refuting what we've put out there, Penguins team sources. I wonder, after the fact, why Penguins team sources might want you all to believe that this was their decision. I wonder why Penguins team sources might have a different view of what went down than the one that we've put out there. Anyhow. Now that we get past the semantical portion of this, one thing is abundantly clear. Kyle Dubas is the judge,
yeah,
the jury,
yep,
the executioner.
Oh, yeah.
There is no one man within this organization now at this point who has more power than Kyle Dubas. Kyle Dubas, who was once charged with finding a general manager and hired himself, he's always had power. He now has the most power in this organization. Fenway Sports Group adored Mike Sullivan.
Yep.
By all accounts, Sidney Crosby adored Mike Sullivan. He gone. Kyle Dubas is now charged with seeing the Pittsburgh Penguins through one of the most important moments in franchise history. Do we trust him to do a good job? 412-928-9370. Do we believe that he is the right man for the job? 412-928-9370. Let's spend some time on that coming up next.
I have a strong feeling about this.
I know you do, as do I. We'll also celebrate Mike Sullivan's Penguins tenure coming up at the bottom of the hour with some of the unforgettable moments that he was able to orchestrate here. Because we could do what we're doing. Hey, do you trust Kyle Dubas? And boy, how did it all go down? But the Penguins and a really good coach separated yesterday. A guy who brought you two championships. So we'll celebrate him coming up at the bottom of the hour. You can chime in on the text line, 412-928-9370. You can give us a ring, same number, on the phone line. Text us, 412-928-9370, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I got to go to the bathroom really bad. It just came over me, Doran.
Just go.
What's that?
Just go.
You want me to go?
I mean, if you have to.
Kyle Dubas on how good of a head coach Mike Sullivan was.
After, I think, very careful consideration, discussion, deliberation, that parted ways with head coach Mike Sullivan. What I'd first say is that Sully, I think, means a great deal to a lot of the people in the room, a great deal to the community, and we'll move on from the Penguins having left a truly incredible mark on the franchise, the winningest coach in team history, two Stanley Cup championships. But I think beyond the success on the bench and what it led to on the ice for the city of Pittsburgh and for the fan bases, the mark that he's made on the people here, which I've got to see and experience firsthand the last 2 years, the impact on their careers, the impact on their families, and what he means to them, and then also in my conversations with him the last week, I think what the city of Pittsburgh, the franchise, and the people here mean to him. That's what makes these moments and times very difficult. I'll let Sully speak to that when he deems the right time to do it.
Now, let's not miss the point here. You know, from what we started off the show with, what we started off the show with was, you know, what the process was of the parting of the ways, quote unquote, parting of the ways of Mike Sullivan and the Pittsburgh Penguins, and what our what we got, our source told us, and obviously people firing back and saying that that wasn't what went down. Okay, that's none here nor there at this point. But the point of all of this is, in my opinion, this was time. This was the right move. Like, this was the right move. Let's not miss that. And I understand. And yesterday, I can't, you know, when the news did break, I wanted to go to the in the positive route of what Mike Sullivan brought to the Pittsburgh Penguins organization and really brought to this city throughout his tenure as a head coach. You know, everything that you go through doesn't always ends in sunshines and rainbows. And it didn't, obviously, in this situation. But Mike Sullivan has outlasted a lot of NHL coaches, and we know how the NHL process is with coaches. It's a revolving door. But let's not forget that, one, this was necessary. It was time to move on. And two, let's honestly acknowledge that he brought a lot of good here. He brought a lot of good to the Pittsburgh Penguins organization. Now, the question that you asked earlier, Crowley, to tease this segment was, is Cal Dubas, are you in on Cal Dubas being the guy for the job? Like, do you have full faith that Cal Dubas will turn this around?
No.
I don't either. Because I think it's very unique. This is such a unique situation. This isn't your run-of-the-mill, just NHL team, San Jose Sharks, hey, we're getting a new head coach. And we're going to see if it works. This isn't your Chicago. It kind of is your Chicago Blackhawks, but it isn't.
Yeah, I hope it doesn't take that long.
But what I'm saying is, this is the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they did things a certain way for a long time. And we're starting to see those ways go away. We're starting to see how Mario Lemieux built this franchise during his tenure as an owner, and why that they won. It was very tight knit. It was very family like, and now it's become a corporate organization. And I think that whenever you're in a unique situation like this, you can't fully tear it down to the studs, which I think is Kyle Dubas is trying to do. Now, like I just said before, I think it was time to move in a different direction, but you also need to keep some things that are familiar when you have an organization like the Pittsburgh Penguins. Because if you tear it all down, you're going to lose the reason why that they are the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Oh, it's a totally different organization now. You're right.
And I don't think that that can work. I'm sorry. I don't think that that can work. And I feel like that that's the direction that Kyle Dubas wants to go in. Like, totally a makeover.
Well, he's certainly making... I mean, he's got all the power.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know that there's checks and balances. Mike Sullivan had a ton of power within the organization, at least we believe. He was signed to that extension before Kyle Dubas was brought in. Now he's gone. They're losing Kevin Acklin. I'm not really sure what happened there, but he's not going to be there. And so Dubas is going to bring in all of his guys. And look, I think that by accruing draft picks, like Ville Koivunen coming in and having 7 points in 8 games, he was part of the Gensel trade. I think the process, from an on-the-ice standpoint, is the right process.
Right.
Now, do I have faith that the execution's going to be right? I look at what the Cleveland Browns did in the draft. We talked about this. The process to move back from 2 to 5 was right. Then they draft 2 running backs, 2 quarterbacks. It makes you go, huh, you had the process right, but you picked 2 quarterbacks in a weak quarterback class. What are you doing?
What are you doing?
I think the process for Dubas is correct. 16 top 3 round picks these upcoming 3 years. Again, Koivunen, they've got a great goaltender who's the best goaltender in the AHL. Maybe he's part of the solution for next year. You can see a plan here. But no, I don't have full faith that he's going to turn this thing around. And I'm not just going to give him benefit of the doubt. I think a lot of people within the Penguins media look at this guy as if he's some genius. He won 1 playoff series in Toronto. 1. Never figured out goaltending. And this is the same guy that gave Graves a contract,
right,
that gave Jari a contract. Again, the plan looks like the right plan. Do I have faith that he's going to execute it? I can't say that right now. He may well turn this thing around in 2 years and hooray, hurrah, we're celebrating this guy in the streets one day the way that we're going to celebrate Mike Sullivan in like 10 minutes on the show. Like, that could happen. But I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, this guy's got it all figured out.
Right, I don't have full faith that that's going to happen. But, like, what is the bar for success for Kyle Dubas?
He needs to get them into Stanley Cup contention.
It has to be Stanley Cup contention, right?
That's absolutely
a very hard job to do, clearly.
Yes.
Very hard job to do, especially whenever you're really going to tear it all the way down. Because Sidney Crosby, I mean, he's 37, 38 years old.
I don't know that they're tearing it all the way down because they're keeping Raquel. And I don't think they're going to move Rust. I think they'd like to move Carlson. The way the organization operates, though, has been totally
that's kind of what I was getting
flipped
at.
Over. Right.
And I feel like that's not a good way to go about business whenever you have a unique franchise like the Pittsburgh Penguins, who made their business on being unique and tight-knit.
Yeah, they were family, and Lemieux had a way of running it, and Burkle had a way of running it, and they had a ton of success, and they were great with fan relations. And I'm not saying that I've seen a huge dip there, but everything from within this organization has been gutted. It has. You're right about that. The on-ice product, I think it's possible that if they wanted to, they could make the playoffs next year. I don't think that's the plan. Kyle Dubas said that in his end-of-season press conference. Like, you don't want to just squeak into the playoffs. No, you want to build up to being a Stanley Cup contender. That's what we talked about the Steelers for a long time. Oh, you just want to keep being 10-7, just keep being 10-7. So I respect what he said. Let's just see if he can do it. And I wouldn't be shocked if he could do it, because I think they have the plan in place. But I'm not going to sit here and rubber stamp it and say, oh, he's definitely the man for the job. I don't know.
Mm-mm.
What's Toronto won? And they had stars in place whenever he really took over too. So I'm not going to be one of these people who gives him the benefit of the doubt.
It's going to take a while for that to happen. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's not, I don't think it's going to be an immediate shift.
I think if he's the man for the job, they can be good in 2 years.
Like, I mean, who's to say he's going to hire the right head coach?
Correct. Correct.
I mean, that's where we're starting, right?
And if you look back at his past, he's only hired 2 head coaches, one that he played with at Sault Ste. Marie, and then he hired Sheldon Keefe 3 times. to Sault Ste. Marie, and then to the Toronto Marlies, and then to the Toronto Maple Leafs. That's the only guy he's hired. Yeah. He coaches New Jersey right now. Now, he might get let go. There was some smoke about that. And then maybe Sheldon Keefe's the guy. I don't know if Sheldon Keefe's the guy. I want a young pup. I want a young pup who's okay with the fact that they're probably not going to be good for 2 years, Thorin. And then by the time they're good, bang, you're ready to roll.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. I've been talking about draft picks, and you're going to have to move those draft picks. You're going to have to hit on those draft picks. But you're right. He might not even hire the right coach.
Right.
He might. But I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, yeah, this guy's going to nail it. I think regardless of how it went down in the semantics of it, between Sullivan and Kyle Dubas, they did need to move on from Sullivan.
Right.
I have no disagreement with that. They needed to move on. It was time past the expiration date. There's no doubt about that. Is he going to get the next guy right? No clue. Do you have faith that Kyle Dubas is the man for the job? Because make no mistake, the fate of the franchise is in his hands. In his hands only. Do you trust him? 412-928-9370. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. That was the fastest poo of all time.
That really was.
It was right there. Woo!
I mean, that was literally a minute and like 15 seconds.
That's right.
It's crazy.
World record. All right, coming up next, we'll take your calls, texts, and tweets on whether or not you think Dubas is the man for the job. And we'll also celebrate what was a hell of a run by now former head coach Mike Sullivan.
I think that two things can be true, that someone can be a great head coach and that they'll move on to become a great head coach on their next stop. And it could also be time for change here. And I think that is that was the conclusion that I'd come to. It had been something on my mind during the season. But I have great respect for Sully. Just want to see it through to the end of the year and then have discussion with him at the end of the season before having discussions with him and then going through that together.
Jeff Hathorn going to join us at the top of the hour. That was Kyle Dubas, Penguins grand poobah of all things hockey. He is the man now who has to oversee the Penguins through some tumult and get them out as a contender on the other side. Can he do it? 412-928-9370. We'll have that discussion. We'll continue, I should say, to have that discussion. In the meantime, I do feel like we need to do a little ode to Sully.
Yeah.
The winningest head coach in Penguins history. Two-time Stanley Cup champion. No head coach in the history of the franchise other than him can say that. And yeah, they haven't won a playoff series since 2018. That's ultimately why he's not going to be here anymore. But he did win 9 consecutive playoff series to start his Penguins career at a time when I thought they weren't going to make good on Crosby and Malkin's prime. It was looking bad that they were going to be the Atlanta Braves of the 1990s, Doran. All this talent to only win one championship, that would have been a disaster. So I got the top 5 moments. How about this? The top 5 moments in Mike Sullivan's tenure. Now, they all happen in a couple of years, and reasonable people can argue about the order of these, and maybe you've got your own additions. You can text us at 412-928-9370 if you think we're getting anything wrong here. But my number 5, I mean, there's some great moments.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5, Brian Rust, 2 goals in Game 7 in the Stanley Cup. In the Eastern Conference Final in 2017 against Tampa. I was there. We were sitting right behind the net. One of them just squeaked in, and the Penguins win the game 2-1, and the whole time it was just hold on to your butts. Steven Stamkos came in on a breakaway. He hadn't played the entire series. He came back healthy, and we had been so scarred as Penguins fans up until that. You had to think, oh, Steven Stamkos is going to be the difference.
Right.
That Tampa team, they hadn't been able to get over the hump. And they have since obviously gotten over the hump. That was a great friggin' team. John Cooper's a hell of a head coach. And the Penguins won Game 7 in PPG Paints Arena. The place was bonkers. Bonkers. They were down 3-2 in that series, Dorm. And I remember driving in. I used to do Penguins reports at the time at my old station. Just like 1-minute vignettes about what had happened in the game. And I remember they were down 3-2. And I'm driving in to do one of those. And I thought to myself, oh my God. Like, they had beat Washington. Tampa's really good, but I thought they'd win that series. They're down 3-2. Oh my God, they're never going to do it. And for me, 2016 was my favorite of all the three championships in the Crosby Malkin era, because winning one was great, but not good enough. Winning two was almost this exhale.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And they don't go on to win unless Brian Rust, who's big game Brian Rust, scores those two goals in game seven. So that was my number five. My number four was Marc-Andre Fleury's butt end of his stick in game seven in 2017 against Ovechkin in Washington. When the Penguins were up 3-1 in that series and Washington blew their doors off the next two games, I didn't think they would go to Washington and win. And they did. In large part because Marc-Andre Fleury stoned him again. But now for the top three, Dorn. Number three for me could arguably be number one for anybody else. Nick Bonino in overtime after the Penguins squandered a lead. Game six against the Capitals in the second round.
Bonino has Haglund moving to the net. It's spiked up in the air by Tourney and laid around behind. Kessel up with it there. Ben one around in front. Haglund is shot. It's over!
Doc Emmerich, a Hall of Famer for a reason. The perfect call, Doran. It's over. Whatever team won that series, I thought was going to win the Stanley Cup. And that wound up being the case. I'm not convinced to this day that the Penguins were like clearly better than Washington. I'm not convinced that in 2017 the Penguins were clearly better than Washington. They just happened to win two series. And Washington got over on them in 2018. Those were Stanley Cup quality series in the second round. And that Bonino goal, I remember calling my buddy Dan saying, they're going to win the cup.
Yeah.
Like, had they blown that game, who knows? And they almost did. They kept clearing the puck over the glass with the delay of game penalties. They absolutely blew it. Carlson scored a goal on the 5-on-3, but they wound up winning in overtime because Mike Sullivan had their headspace right.
Mm-hmm.
He always said, just play. Like, forget the refs. Forget them trying to get you off your game. Just play. And up until that, the Penguins were petulant. They were. Under Bylsma, under Johnston, you could rattle the Penguins' cage. When Sully came in, he said, just play.
Yeah.
And they bought into the philosophy. That was a beaut, that one.
Mm-hmm.
One more?
One more.
Two more,
and then I have, and then I have something.
You got something? You want to go now, or do you want me to do the other two?
No, just do the other two, because it's just more of just kind of closing the door on the chapter of Mike Sullivan.
The Kunitz goal, double OT. Senators, Game 7, Eastern Conference Final.
Cheery, that one came off Stahlberg. It's Schultz working it back in deep. Fresh from the bench, it's Crosby. Crosby on Kunitz, it's shot and score! Penguins win it! And they go to the final!
What a player, Chris Kunitz.
Oh, so good.
Four-time Stanley Cup champion, once with the Ducks, three times with the Penguins.
Exactly what they needed.
Oh, my God.
He was exactly what that missing piece.
In 09, they were good. You bring him and Guerin in, and Kunitz was the perfect combination of skill and ass.
Yep.
And he would, on the forecheck, especially when he was young, he would murder people. And his fit with Crosby was outstanding. And then the number one moment for me, because I said that the 16 Cup means more to me than the 2017 Cup, because you kind of got that monkey off your back and you're able to exhale. Letang's game-winning goal against the Sharks.
Letang with a fake and a spin around. It's Letang holding, delaying some more. That one around in front, pumped out there by Hornquist, taken by Crosby. A shot, score! It's Letang! It's 2-1!
Yeah, baby. They outplayed the Sharks in every single game, and Murray let up a couple of bad goals. He was so good that entire playoff run and in those 2 years. Donskoy played pretty well for a couple of games, and Murray had a couple of stinkers, and that's why it went six. Penguins could have won that series in four. I thought they were going to win it in five. They still haven't won a cup on Pittsburgh ice. All right, you said you wanted to close the chapter here.
No, I mean, it's... I just have a lot of respect for a guy like Mike Sullivan. I mean, being a head coach and, you know, just kind of going through the coaching ranks since 2002 and having different positions, being, you know, assistant coach, being a head coach, being a developmental coach, and, you know, feeling the highs of the highs and then getting knocked down a peg and then getting another chance in Wilkes. And whenever they hired him, like, It was not promised like he would ever be even the head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins. And he's probably trying to find his career again, you know, trying to find his life in hockey again, whenever you get knocked down of being, you know, from where you were earlier, like 10 years previous, to being a head coach of a, you know, of a Wilkes team and doing very well. And then you get your opportunity again and figuring out how to put this together, but also not make it rocket science. And that's what he did. And I just always had a lot of respect for a guy like that, that has gone through, been at the highs of the highs, the lows of the lows, and then found himself just kind of meeting in the middle and where exactly he should be and doing everything necessary to get back to feeling that feeling of being a head coach of a legit hockey club. And he did that, and almost immediately. It's fantastic. And what, you know, some of the memories and just excitement that he brought just right off the bat was fantastic for the city. And, you know, like I said, he should be celebrated. It was time. A lot of us understand that it was time, but let's not forget the time that he put in he did for the city.
He came in first practice. I'll remember all the beat writers putting out there, booming voice, commanded the room immediately.
No nonsense.
No. And that's what I'm talking about with the just play. They get pushed around. Guy gets punched in the face. Forget it. Let's just play the game. Let's beat these asses on the scoreboard. He got a raw deal in Boston the first time. So people keep saying, oh, he's going to go to Boston. That's home. Sure, fine, it's home. He got a raw deal there. Had 100 points in his first season. He gets fired the next year. He got a total raw deal. And had to wait then 10 years after that, to your point, Dorn, to come back and have a chance. And he made good, winning his first 9 consecutive playoff series. So what a run for Sully, the winningest coach in Penguins history. And we thank him for his service, because some of the great times of our sports lives as fans came with him at the helm. If you have any that you want to add, you can at 412-928-9370. Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Doran, there's coincidence and then there's coincidence. We'll get to one of the weirder, funnier coincidences that we've ever been a part of on the Fan Morning Show coming up next. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Jeff Hathorn, our sports director. He was at the Kyle Dubas press conference yesterday. He's going to be joining us next. Also, probably talk some draft today, since we didn't get to in the final hour of yesterday's show. How about not only Mike Sullivan of the Penguins out, Mike Sullivan of the Steelers out?
Wild.
In the same day!
How does that happen?
That's an all-time weird one, man.
Yes.
And I don't know if that was the Steelers' decision, if that was Mike Sullivan's decision. I don't really know what happens there. Brooke Pryor just found it by going and looking at the website. He was no longer there. And then I saw stories written up about it today. So no more Mike Sullivan for the Steelers the same day that Mike Sullivan of the Penguins and that organization parted ways. It made me think, was our source telling us about the different Mike Sullivan?
That is true.
On Sunday, I went, hold up, wait a second here. Wait, is this the, which Sullivan is it?
No, they said the Rangers. So.
They did, yeah. Yeah. I think if they let go of, if the Steelers let go of this Mike Sullivan, when you're going to be going through a period of quarterback tumult, I think that's odd, unless you got someone earmarked to replace him.
Well, I think Tom Martha is the guy. I think right. Mike Sullivan, Pittsburgh Steelers' role was kind of like a senior advisor.
Yes.
And that was to kind of work one-on-one with a guy like Justin Fields, of breaking things down, to break him down and to build him back up, to, you know, to show him the process of, you know, identifying coverages, things of that nature, like to get more of that one-on-one training last year. And they don't need that this year. I mean, Will Howard will learn from Tom Martha and they'll be fine.
Tom Arth, probably Aaron Rodgers and Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, so
yeah,
don't really need to have Mike Sullivan on.
It's not like when you initially had Mason Rudolph and you just out and out didn't have a quarterback's coach.
Right, you have one. Yeah.
I still think more is better than less. The more eyes you have, the more differentiating opinions you have is
better.
They might
go younger.
They could.
They might fill that role with a younger person.
And who's to say that he didn't decide he was walking away himself? I'm not necessarily sure about that. Maybe Jeff knows. We could talk to Jeff about both Mike Sullivans coming up next. We'll get his thoughts on the Steelers draft and then his main takeaways from Kyle Dubas' press conference yesterday.